That was a beautiful song we just sang. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And that's what we're talking about. We're continuing our series on loving the Lord with all of our heart. And I would just go ahead and get into the verse and into the lesson. Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. In our first lesson, we noticed that the most important thing in life is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We noticed that what we put into our heart comes out in our life. We've got to watch our heart every day. And just like with our physical heart, we have to have the proper diet, the Word of God, and exercise. We notice in the second lesson, when God gave them up, God created man in His own image with a heart like His, but then man sinned and wanted to go off away from God. And as man wanted to do that over and over, God just let him do it. And each time that God gave them up, they went in a downward spiral, deeper and deeper into sin. And that is one of the things that Satan is going to try to do to all of us. He's going to try to get our heart off of being focused on God. God is not going to miraculously pull us back. He's going to leave us on our own. And then Satan tries to capture our heart, and then he has us again. We noticed last week that the heart is the gatekeeper of our lives. It's like a gate that we can open and close to allow things in, keep things out. We need to keep our heart open to let God come in. We need to keep our heart closed to Satan, to the sin. We notice that an open heart is necessary for any relationship. And God doesn't want just any relationship. He wants an intimate relationship with us. He's a jealous God. He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. He wants that intimate, close relationship. And again, the church is compared to the bride of Christ, that intimate relationship. The heart generates both belief and trust. The more we trust in God, the more perseverance that we have. And with that perseverance, that helps us to transform and renew our mind by keeping on, keeping on. This evening, I want us to start in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. A sower went out to sow a seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears, let him hear." When we drop down to verse 13, "But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away." So someone will ask, how is it that four people can hear the same message and they all turn out differently? How is that? The same message. Everybody hears it the same. Why do they turn out differently? It's because of their heart. They have different hearts. We do not all have the same heart. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. In verse 13, the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. We live in a stony area. We have woods and we have lots of rocks. I've dug up tons of rocks. Some of you have seen them and moved them around. I go out and I try to plant something, and I'll plant something and it'll grow for a while, and then it just dries up and it's close to a rock. It doesn't have deep roots. Well, it's getting harder for me to dig all of those up. And I got in touch with a neighbor that lives down the road, and I said, I've got a lot of rocks I'd like for you to dig up for me. And he said, that's fine. This guy, he's got to be in his upper 80s. He said his wife died recently, and she'd been sick for the last 10 years. And he said she died just short of their 66th wedding anniversary. So they'd been married a long time. So he came down and started digging up the rocks. And the ones, you don't know how big they are till you dig it. You don't know how hard somebody's heart is until they are faced with different things. Well, this is one of them that he dug up. And this is looking at the front of it. And you can't tell from this picture because it goes on behind that. It's about 6 feet long. And you know how much was sticking up out of the ground? Just enough to hit the mower. Just enough, and I'd try covering up with dirt. The dirt would erode away, go away. And we had a bunch of these. We still have a few left, but it's a rock. It is hard. It is hard. And that's what Jesus uses in this parable to talk about the heart of man. Some fell on rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. If we have a heart of stone like this, we've got to do something to change it. We've got to soften it. If we have a soft heart, a heart of flesh like God wants us to have, we have to work. We have to work to keep it soft. Because again, left on its own, when God gave them up, it's going to harden. When someone is described as hard-hearted, we usually think of someone that's cruel, who treats people harshly. We don't ever think of the word applying to us, but we need to look at our heart first. Do I have a hard heart? All of us have a heart that is hardened in some areas in certain degrees. And this is a condition that hinders our life. It hinders us from worshiping God as we should. It hinders us from having the right relationships with others. And we should be aware that any person's heart has the potential to grow increasingly hard so that it eventually affects the entire being. And again, we must monitor our heart so we do not let it get hard. Consider the meaning of the word translated hardness of heart in Mark 16:14, which reads, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe who had seen him after he had risen. How could the disciples not believe Christ? We think they had to be crazy to not see that. It was because of their heart. And then we'll think, how can somebody else not see this or that? But we've got to look at our heart. The Greek word here indicates destitution of spiritual perception. Destitution. They were without. They were empty. We would not think of Jesus' disciples of having a hard heart. Maybe Judas had a hard heart. We'd think, well, Judas had a hard heart. Look at what he did. He betrayed Jesus. But the other disciples made mistakes. They lacked faith. They failed to understand Jesus' teaching at time. But hardness of heart? We wouldn't think that they had hardness of heart. And then we don't think of ourselves as having hardness of heart. How many times have you read through the Bible and then you read through it one more time and it's like this light bulb comes on and, wow, I never thought of that. I never saw that before. We fail to understand Jesus' teaching. And then we learned it. And see, when we don't understand all of his teaching, our heart isn't fully in sync with his. Note again, the implication of hardness of heart, destitution of spiritual perception. That's a serious condition. That's where we cannot discern or we are not sensitive to things in this life. When we have a condition like that, that blocks our relationship with God and it limits our intimacy with God. And again, we've looked at that earlier. God, He would not like to have an intimate relationship with us. He demands to have an intimate relationship with us. And like so many people, we keep what we call an arm's length relationship with people. You're my friend up to this point, but I'm not going to let you inside to know what I'm really like. I'm not going to let you know what I'm really thinking. We want to keep things, hi, how you doing? Good to see you. See you next week. Have a good week. God doesn't want that kind of relationship. The fulfillment of the greatest commandment of all, to love God with our whole being and to love other people as ourselves, is hindered by hardness of heart because we lack the spiritual perception, and that will distance our heart from God and other people. Ask yourself, is my heart soft and yielded to God? Where might my spiritual perception be blocked due to a hardness of heart? Sometimes we hear the term love growing cold. Their love just grew cold. That refers to a hardened heart. Sometimes we talk about that in a marriage relationship, some other kind of relationship. We say their love just grew cold. When God created man, He gave man a heart with his own heart. But when man disobeyed God, that heart was corrupted. Man let in pride, immorality, a lust for power, the same sins that we see today. And when we have those, we do not empathize with other people as we should, with their condition, and then we are not in tune with God's word. Those people that have hardened their hearts, who do they care about? They only care about themselves. Again, I have to ask myself, if I don't care about the people that I come in contact with, do I have a hard heart? Because I'm only caring about myself. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." So circumcision was a sign of the covenant between Abraham and God. It was a cutting of the flesh, a removal of the skin. Here we have, "The Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart." God wants to remove sin from our heart. God wants to remove anything that is not in tune with His heart. Ezekiel 36, 26, back to our opening verse. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will make the heart of stone. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." We've got to be careful that our heart of flesh doesn't turn into a heart of stone. God has always desired to write His commandments on the hearts of people. That's the only way that we can truly love and obey Him. And it's ironic that when God was writing the Ten Commandments on stone tablets with His own finger in the presence of Moses, what were the people doing? They were rejecting God and worshiping a golden calf that they had asked Aaron to create. In essence, they were refusing what God Himself had written for them. Before Moses even brings the law down, they were refusing it. And even today, many people reject the true word of God for a religion of their own making. They don't want to worship God. They want to put themselves over what God says. in the New Testament, when Stephen gave his speech to the Jewish leaders of the Sanhedrin, what did he say? He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." This goes back to what we read in Deuteronomy. God said he was going to circumcise their heart. He calls them stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. "You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." Acts 7:51. And God can say the same thing regarding the church today. They have hardened their heart toward him, demonstrating an independent spirit, rebelling against his word, disobedient to his word, and consequently they have grieved the Holy Spirit. So, hardness of the heart. What causes hardness of the heart? One of the things we've already looked at is unbelief. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God." An evil heart of unbelief is evidence when a person decides on his own free will not to believe in God and therefore not to obey him. This decision is an open act of rebellion. So you see, they rationalize, "I want to do what I want to do." Well, if God exists and God says do this and don't do that, I'm just not going to believe in him. And then I can do whatever I want. And when I just do whatever I want, I have a heart of unbelief. I don't believe that when God says, "If you do this, you're going to lose your soul," I'm going to do it anyway. When God says, "Worship me this way," and I don't want to worship him this way, I want to worship him my way, that's a heart of unbelief, and it causes the heart to harden. Repeatedly committing a sin hardens the heart. The writer of Hebrews said, "But exhort one another daily, where while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." What is sin? It's to miss the mark, to disobey God, to offend the Lord, to violate God's law. And when we commit a particular sin repeatedly without repentance, we open the door of our heart to the enemy, allow the devil to introduce some leaven of corruption, and that's just going to spread through our heart, and it's going to harden. Different examples come to mind, repeatedly committing a sin. Say we just didn't want to come tonight. We were able to. We were healthy. We could get out and just didn't want to. We stay home, and it kind of bothers us a little bit. And then next week, "I think I'm going to stay home again." And we just keep doing that over and over. And then, well, I think I'm going to miss, I'll miss Wednesday too. And we've all seen it over the years. And somebody will disappear from the group. And we think, well, what happened to them? It was a progression from that first sin to another one, to another one, to another one. You see somebody maybe at work or in some situation, and they're asked a question and they lie. They lie, and that lie bothers them. It bothers them. But then somebody asks them the same question and they lie again. And then they lie again and again and again. They repeat that sin. And then pretty soon you ask that person a question and you can't believe a word they said, because their heart has become hardened, and they just lie like anything. Repeatedly committing sin will harden our heart. Holding on to offense. Offenses affect many people who have felt wronged by someone else, a spouse, a child, a teacher, a boss, co-worker, maybe the preacher offended them. Taking offense at other people as well as offending them is rather unavoidable in life. Jesus said, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses comes." This is Matthew 18. We saw this in Luke 17 this morning. we're going to offend somebody. Woe to the world because of offenses. Offenses must come. They're going to be a part of life. When it comes, don't hold on to it. Let it go. Let it go. If we hold on, somebody offends me, and I just carry that around in my heart all the time, my heart's going to become hard and harder, and it's going to be like that big giant rock. And that rock that was dug out of the yard, and Bob said, where do you want me to put this one? Because I had him placing these around the yard, and I said, how about you put that in the back with the others? And he said, okay. He tried to pick that up, and he got a hold of the front, and the back end of his track hoe came up. He was able to get it out of the ground and move it out of the way. But that rock was so big and so hard, it couldn't be moved. How about our heart? You see, people whose heart is so hardened, it's so hardened they can't be moved. They can't be touched. And that's something we all have to watch about, because hopefully none of us here have a hard heart, but it is possible because of these causes that we are looking at that we can allow our heart to become hardened. Again, we've seen it. People, faithful Christians, and they leave the church, and you talk to them, and they couldn't care less that you're talking to them about coming back. Their heart has become hardened. Harboring emotional wounds, not forgiving others. This usually deals with the people that we love the most. If some stranger comes up and says something to me, I'm just going to let it roll off my back. But if some family member or somebody close says the same thing, that's going to hurt me. That's going to wound me. But again, it wounds me, but I need to forgive that person. If we don't forgive people and we carry it around, it's just going to harden our heart. What causes the heart to harden? Disobeying the word of God. God created man to be in a relationship with him. His plan was always clear. There is always permanent communication with us. Even after the fall, God communicated with man, sometimes directly, through the prophets, through the written word, through his son himself. When Jim was talking Wednesday evening about the word, in the beginning was the word. The word became flesh. He became man. He dwelt among us. God wanted to communicate. He wanted to express himself to us. You think of all that he did to reveal his word. We have the word of the Old Testament revealed, recorded, written down, that we can read it and help us understand things today. We have the word for us today, the New Testament, written down in a dead language that's never going to change. And we can go back and look at what it meant in the original language. And we have no excuse for not knowing and not obeying. But if we do not learn it and obey it, it's going to harden our heart. What causes the heart to harden? Lawlessness. Lawlessness. Illegality, something that is illegal, a violation of the law, transgression of the law, wickedness, iniquity, unrighteousness. It comes from another meaning, a Greek word meaning without the law. When Jesus said, depart from me, you that practice lawlessness, you that practice iniquity, in Matthew chapter 7, they were doing things without authority. They were doing all kinds of religious things. Didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? They didn't do it by the authority of Christ. And he says, you're practicing lawlessness, iniquity. increasingly generations demand to live without beneficial restrictions and laws. People want to do whatever they want to do today. They want to change the laws so they can do whatever they want to do. What ends up happening is people's hearts become hardened. So these are some of the causes that make our heart harden: unbelief, repeatedly committing sin, holding on to offense, harboring emotional wounds, disobeying the voice of God, lawlessness. Well, let's consider some signs of a hardened heart. So I can do a check on myself. Do I have a hardened heart? A hardened heart moves from commitment to wishful thinking. A person abandons his commitments. He disconnects himself from service that he had participated in with other believers. His mind is full of desires, but they lead nowhere because of the hardness of his heart, and it's crippled his motivation. You think about when you were baptized and you were just, we say, a person's on fire for the Lord. They want to do everything. They want to be the first one here when the door is open. They want to have every blank filled in for their Bible study. They want to tell everybody about the need to be saved. They're on fire. Then their heart starts becoming hardened. They still have that in their head. Yeah, that would be nice if maybe we studied the Bible sometime, or maybe we did this, or maybe we did that. They've lost that commitment. And again, that is why this is the first commandment, the most important commandment, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if we don't, nothing else is going to matter. Everything else is going to collapse. Another sign: a hardened heart rebels against God. Rebellion is a clear sign of a hardened heart. But it is possible for us to rebel against God without recognizing that we're doing so. Again, when we disobey God, we are rebelling against Him, but our mind comes up with excuses to justify our actions. A person might become indifferent, and the person usually does not want to be involved in the church's work. Sometimes a person just simply doesn't care. Then it goes from not caring to starting to criticize. Well, I can't believe this. I can't believe that. Why did they do that? And when a believer rebels against God's authority, he's rebelling against God himself. We don't want to rebel. We want to submit. A hardened heart justifies wrongdoing and blames others. Earlier, we discussed how a heart can grow cold after someone has been hurt or wronged. And you see that sometimes in a marriage relationship. One of them hurts the other one. They become offended. And that cold spell turns into a freeze. And they grow farther and farther apart. And they don't do anything to work that out and to come back together. This cold-heartedness can become hard-heartedness. Then they start blaming. They come up with a reason to blame something. They play the blame game. An example: I'm not a good dad. I grew up without a dad myself. Nobody taught me how to be a good dad. You can't expect me to do a good job as a dad. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. And you can come up with 101 things that people use as an excuse. We talked about that before when I had this sermon on toxic people and playing the victim card. This card may be kept until needed or sold. You are a victim. you get out of responsibility. And see, when people play the blame card, they're saying, I'm not responsible. So again, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm not held accountable. You wouldn't believe what my mother was like. You wouldn't believe what my father is like. I had this boss that made me this way. I was in this marriage that it was the most worst thing there was. They can point to anything instead of saying, I am responsible. I have my own heart. I've got to watch over my heart. I'm responsible, and I'm going to be accountable for what I do. A hardened heart resists communication and correction. Good communication is a key in every healthy relationship. Let's talk about it. Oh, I want to talk. Well, when do you want to talk? I don't want to talk. And again, people, they put up this wall, and their heart is hardened. A person with a hardened heart will often ignore those who try to get him to recognize his attitudes and actions are hurting others. He doesn't want to hear it. Have you ever tried talking to somebody? They're doing something wrong, and you want to talk to them in a loving way because you care about them. And what do? They want to lash out at you. Well, how dare you? How dare you want to talk to me about that? That's none of your business. And they just start throwing up all kinds of smoke screens, and they don't want to talk about it. How's the situation going to get better? You got to talk about it. You can't. One of the challenges, too, in business, in the church, in the family, you got to be communicating all along, because if you wait till something blows up, you don't have that open line of communication. You don't have that relationship built with somebody to be able to go to them and talk to them. Now, if you have a relationship built up with somebody, and I just pick on David and use David as an example, we have a relationship built up. He could talk to me about anything, I could talk to him about anything, but if I never spoke to David, and then somebody said, Bruce, you need to go talk to David about this. What's he going to do? I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you. And see, the heart becomes hardened. A hardened heart is emotionally cold toward others. If you're emotionally cold toward others, you might have a hardened heart. God gave us emotions to help us connect with other people and to express ourselves. Our emotions help us to recognize the pain and needs of other people, to empathize with them. Jesus was moved by people's sufferings and needs. We feel. We rejoice with those that rejoice, and we weep with those that weep. We feel for people, unless our heart is hardened. And then it doesn't matter what happens, and we just have no feelings. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. In another instance, Jesus wept, John 11:35, over the death of a friend. And he was sorrowful and deeply distressed. A hardened heart is emotionally cold toward others. When Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion, God was moved with compassion. And again, God created us with a heart like his. And we need to be moved with compassion. And if we aren't, we need to look at ourselves and see if our heart is being hardened. A hardened heart enjoys sin, giving free rein to the lust of the flesh, 2 Peter 2:18. And this occurs when somebody, again, repeats that sin over and over, and they enjoy it. And then that sin is sitting on the throne of the heart, and it's pushed God off the throne. That sin. Such people lack a proper fear of God, which would have restrained their corrupt behavior. In contrast, when a person's heart is aligned with God's, he recognizes that sin is only temporary. Yeah, sin is pleasurable, but it's only temporary. And after that temporary pleasure, it leads to destruction and eternal death. We need to remember what the Hebrew writer said about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Sin is pleasurable. The Bible refers to it as the passing pleasure of sin. But the riches of Christ far outweigh that pleasure. And a hardened heart does not worship God. And when a person does not desire to worship God, it's a clear sign that some hardening of the heart has taken place. The person might attend the assembly, but he just sees it as a formality, and he is not involved in true worship. He often rejects the true worship because it convicts him of his need to repent of his sins and his lack of love and experience the transformation in his heart. People can come and go. They come and go. See you next week. But if we come and we stop and we think about what we're doing, we listen to the prayers that are being lifted up, recognizing that what we say goes all the way to heaven for God to hear, and God is going to answer our prayer. When we listen to the words of the song that tell those wonderful stories of what was done for us and we didn't deserve it, and when we partake of the Lord's Supper and remember that Christ gave up everything to come and die for me, and that not only that I can be saved from hell, but that I can live with him in heaven, we have to be moved, or else we're just coming and going through the motions and seeing what time it is, and boy, he's kind of preaching long tonight. We've got to have our heart in it. There are things that cause our heart to be hardened, and there are signs of a hardened heart. And one of the, there's all kinds of examples, and one that I thought of also, I don't have scripture for it, but you'll understand it. So when I was a kid, one of the reasons to look forward to school being out, and it was summertime, we didn't have to wear shoes. We lived out in the country, you know, lots of dirt, lots of rocks, and I was glad to get those shoes off. And then when I would go out and walk on the gravel, I'd walk real slow because my feet were tender. But I'd go out again. I'd go out in the fields, run in the fields with no shoes, kind of slow to begin with. But by the end of the summer, my feet were hard, hard as leather, hard as the leather on the shoes that I would put on my feet. They went from being tender to being hard. Now that's okay with our feet, and that's okay with some other things. But that's not okay with our heart. That's not okay with our heart, because if our heart isn't right, our life's not going to be right. Our worship's not going to be right. Our eternity is not going to be right. And it all goes back to loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.